Hello, this is Rob and Mike from the McClellan Financial Group of Asante Capital Management, and this is Think Smart with TMFG. Today on Think Smart with TMFG, we're going to continue with our series on the evils of investing, and today we're going to discuss our second evil, and that's called taxes. So the tax I'm going to start with is, income tax, because it's the biggest tax we all face every year. But people never actually really look at their tax return. I've been doing this for a long time, and over the last few years, I've really started, especially with Zoom meetings, I go through the actual tax return with the client just to show them how everything's working. Canadians don't understand their tax return. It's just some foreign document, and that's no surprise. It's a pretty complicated document. Some of them are 40, 50 pages. It's ridiculous. The other thing that I always think is interesting, people think if they're getting a tax refund that they've done a really good job with their taxes. Well, that's not really the case. Because people, income tax, you only have to pay it typically at the end of April. People don't think much about the income tax they're paying throughout the year. So today we're really going to explore not just income tax, but we're going to look at all the other taxes out there. So, Mike, why don't you get us started and go through some of the taxes that exist in Canada today?
Well, you have provincial taxes, you have federal taxes, you have your HST, you have property taxes, you have land transfer tax, you have even tire tax, you have air conditioning tax. I know when I go to my dump at the cottage, they're always charging me tax on whatever I'm dropping off. There's liquor and tobacco tax that's at like 61%.
There's gas tax. Now, luckily, I have a Tesla now, so I don't need to pay that gas tax anymore. But you've got hydro tax. You've got extra taxes on your hydro. Even in investing, you've got tax on your management fees. There's a 13% tax on your management fees. You've got school tax. Taxes are endless.
It's a lot of taxes.
That's a lot of types of taxes. And we're going to explore a little later on, what that all adds up to. When we think of investing, there's really sort of three taxes you need to understand, and you need to understand how they work. And the first one is interest income. So interest income essentially is when you own bonds or GICs or maybe it's a high interest savings account, although that's I don't know how you can call it a high interest savings account today when it only pays 1%. But regardless, all of those earn interest income. And the important thing about interest income is that if it sits in your open or non-registered or bank account, that interest income is taxed at your top marginal rate. So you pay a lot of taxes on interest income. The other type of income is dividend income. So dividend income is where you own shares in a Canadian company. It has to be a Canadian company to be a taxable dividend. Dividends are taxed at a lower tax rate. You actually get a tax credit, there's a special formula, and you end up paying far less tax than you would on a dividend than you would interest income. What's important to know is if that dividend comes from a U.S. company or an international company, the dividend rules don't apply. It's taxed just like interest income. And the final income tax, and this has been in the discussion in the news lately about the capital gains tax. So if you had a $10,000 capital gain, typically you only pay tax on half of that gain, or 50%. With all the COVID debt, there's some discussions that maybe they're going to increase that to 66% or 75% or God forbid, 100%. So those are the taxes you need to understand about what comes off of your portfolio and how they're taxed. So capital gains are probably the best choice, followed by dividends, and the last choice would be interest income. Mike, why don't you discuss some of the tax terms that people tend to not understand?
Yeah, I'm sometimes really surprised on the understanding of all the different terms that everyone uses for tax. We'll start off with the first one, is your marginal tax rate. And if you made $100,000 a year, marginal tax rate would be 43.5%. That means every dollar over that amount that you make, you're going to pay 43.5% tax until it hits the next higher level where you're going to pay at that next tax bracket in there. So that's what we call marginal tax rate. The next one's called an average tax rate. An average tax rate is basically taking the amount of money you pay in tax and divide it by the amount of income you had that year. And it's going to give you the average tax rate. An example is someone that earned $100,000 a year. Although the marginal rate would be 43%, their average tax rate would be much more around 23 to 24%.
So they'd pay about $24,000.
Yeah. And it, basically the reason is everyone has a personal exemption. So that's the first, you know, $10,000 or so is free. Then after that, you're at a 20% tax rate up to about $45,000. Then it goes to 30% and so on. So you don't pay that 43% on the whole amount. It's just on those higher amounts. But the reason why the marginal tax rate is important is every extra dollar you earn, you know what you're going to pay on it. The next thing you have on tax returns is tax credits. Tax credits are great because they reduce the amount of tax you owe directly. So there's tax credits, there's disability tax credits. There's a lot of tax credits for a lot of things around that help you out at the bottom of your return. Another thing there are is there's installment tax. And again, people get confused on this. This is in, well, let's start off with installments. Installments are the amount of money, if you owe money at the end of the year on your tax return, and it's above a certain amount, I think it's $2,000, somewhere around there, and that happens a few years in a row, the government will say, we don't want you having this money in your hands, you're going to have to pay us quarterly to make sure you paid the right amount of tax in the year. If you still owe money and you haven't paid enough in those installments, then they actually charge you tax on the installments that you missed.
They call it interest, but it's really just another tax.
Yeah. Yeah, the interest they charge you is much different than the interest they pay you. Well, I think it's 1% a month, right?
It's 1% a month. It's 12% a year. We think the, you know, credit cards are ridiculous at 20%. Our own government's charging you 12%.
Yeah.
In an environment where interest rates are only 1%.
Yeah. It's the biggest organized crime going on. 12% for guaranteed money. And then there's tax refunds. And tax refunds, you sometimes think they're good. You feel good when you get a tax refund. Everyone likes to get money from the government, but it really means the government had your money for the last year rather than you.
Well, it's kind of like you lent your neighbor. If you get a $10,000 tax refund, you could have just lent the $10,000 to your neighbor for the year and he gives it back to you at the end of the year. It's no different, except you've given it to the government.
Yep.
So I thought it might be interesting to really drill down on taxes. And, you know, this may be hard for our government to see, and maybe Justin won't appreciate my analysis here, but let's go through the exercise. So we're going to take a family. They live in Toronto. They've got, their average house is $1 million, worth $1 million, and they have $100,000 worth of household income. So it's a family that's got a good household income. It's all coming from one spouse. And they have a portfolio, you know, they're saving for retirement. They got about $500,000 worth of investments. So I thought it might be interesting to look at how much tax they actually pay. So the first one I'm going to put out there is we're going to look at land transfer tax. Why am I starting with that one? Well, let's say every 10 years or so, you change houses. You know, I see a lot of for sale signs out these days. So obviously people are changing their houses. And every time you change a house, you got to pay this thing called the land transfer tax, if you can believe it. It's pretty expensive. You know, to buy that $1 million house, that's a $32,000 tax hit. So if you bought one every 10 years, that's about $3,200 a year. I looked at my last land transfer tax bill and it was $38,000. That's a lot of money. So we got that. We've got your annual property tax. If you live in Toronto, it's close to, you know, 0.6%, so call it $6,000. We talked about the income tax. Total $23,800, so that's that person in the 23.8% average tax rate. They got that portfolio. They're paying maybe 1%. That's going to be $650 of taxes on their management fees. What about if they're saving $10,000 a year? You know, that's 10% of their income. They're trying to save it. That's not a tax, but what's important to understand is what are they left with after tax? Unemployment insurance. We call it unemployment insurance. It's really a tax. I've never received a dollar from it, nor do I plan to ever receive a dollar from it. But that's $1,500 a year. Canada Pension Plan contributions. It's not a tax, it's a savings, but who knows whether it's even going to be there by the time you and I start drawing from it, although I am getting a little closer. So Mike, what's the total on that?
Got my calculator out. It's about $48,005. So quite a bit of tax and tax and money that comes out of what you're able to spend. So let's figure you have about $50,000 to spend after making $100,000 a year. But then when you go to spend it, you have to pay, guess what? More tax. You have your HST.
I got to pay tax on what I got left?
You've got to pay tax on your after-tax taxed income. So that gives you another 13% on there. So now you have about $44,000 to spend.
Shouldn't you get like a tax-free card that you already paid enough on your $100,000?
Yeah.
So everything else you buy should be tax-free? That'd be a good strategy.
I'm waiting for mine.
So that's a lot of income tax. Next podcast, let's review 10 strategies to reduce those taxes. So we're going to explore 10 strategies that you can deploy right away to reduce your taxes on an ongoing basis.
Looking forward to it.
That brings us to the end of another week. Thank you for joining us. This is Rob and Mike with Think Smart from the McClellan Financial Group of Asante Capital Management, reminding you to live the life that makes you happy.
McClelland Financial Group of Asante Capital Management Limited. Asante Capital Management Limited is a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada. Insurance products and services are provided through Asante Estate and Insurance Services Incorporated. This material is provided for general information and is subject to change without notice. Every effort has been made to compile this material from reliable sources. However, no warranty can be made as to its accuracy or completeness. Before acting on any of the above, please make sure to see a professional advisor for individual financial advice based on your personal circumstances.